As I said, I'm Mark, I'm an alcoholic. Can we have a moment of silence and gratitude for the AA recoveries over the past 70 years? And our first speaker is David S. from New York City.
Hi, I'm David. I'm an alcoholic. And there's a proverb that says, let your heart be where your treasure is. And I just have to say, for many years now, I've been coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and my heart has been with Alcoholics Anonymous since I got sober, because I really know this is where my treasure is. And it's just a great privilege to be here. I'm going to read from a little thing that I wrote, if I may. When the men in my life hit the hobo trail, I remain. My power is local, but I know my power. This is not a poetry reading, by the way. But this is a line I am somewhat butchering from a poem I came across years ago when I was in the early stages of alcoholism, if not exactly on the hobo trail. And it's not so much the hobo trail, but power and local, that interest me here today regarding public information. I have no big, no macro ideas about PI to share with you. I can tell you briefly that I served as PI chair for Area 49, Southeast New York, for the previous 2 years, and had the privilege of working with very active and motivated county chairs who, in a number of cases, did far more than I to advance PI in our area, and thus would probably be better qualified to speak on the subject. Or if I should think that I have some big ideas, I would prefer to remain local, if I may, and touch on something that is on my mind a lot because it relates so directly to our responsibility statement, which happens, of course, to be the theme of this convention. Some years ago, I was out walking early in the morning when a man suddenly approached me with what was for him clearly a burning question. "What are we going to do about racism?" he said, taking up a position right in my path. It was not a question I welcomed at that time of the day or at any time, and I frankly was uncomfortable at having been placed on the spot by this stranger. But the man was serious and seemed to expect an answer, and so I said, "Let it start with me and let it start with you." He seemed disappointed. Perhaps he was seeking and deserved some more sweeping solution, but that is all I could offer him in that moment. It was the answer that all these years of being graced with the gift of sobriety have given me. It was the answer, in a sense, our responsibility statement provides. That, I believe, is where public information must start, with me, with you, with our meetings. Let it begin with me, and let it begin with us in our home groups. Though this may sound strange, I want to talk about the AA meeting sign, if I may. Blue and white and round, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to how many of you have that sign hanging outside your meetings, but of the groups I attend, the majority don't, and I go to meetings in New York City. Perhaps you are thinking I come hundreds of thousands of miles or thousands of miles to hear someone talk about minutiae like the AA meeting sign, and perhaps you are thinking, well, what business is it of yours, David S.? Anyway, our groups have a fourth tradition. We have the right to hang a meeting sign or not hang a meeting sign, which, of course, is true. Something happened as I approached the school where the first AA meeting I was to attend was held. Hanging from the gate was a metal disc. This was 1979, with a blue background and the letters AA to let me know that I had come to the right place. Grateful as I was for this guidepost, nevertheless a feeling of fear and shame and concern that people might see me entering came over me. The sign caused me to look back over my shoulder. What the sign evoked in me was the stigma of alcoholism, the shame I carried deep within me about this problem I couldn't consciously acknowledge to myself that I had. How do you admit to yourself that you have a problem when the problem has you convinced that it is the answer? The very words alcoholic and alcoholism struck fear and horror into me. And yet the sign didn't stop me from entering the meeting. My need for recovery far outweighed any sense of shame I was experiencing. And then how much comfort I took in those early days from hearing our 12th tradition read at every meeting, Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. You were telling me that my identity as an alcoholic would remain safe with you. The AA sign, when it is hanging outside a meeting place, tells the world outside the meeting place that we are here. As our co-founder wrote, public information takes many forms. The simple sign outside a meeting place that says AA meeting tonight, listing in local phone directories, etc. The meeting sign is the group's first commitment to public information. It enables AA members visiting from out of town or who have never been to the meeting to find us more easily. How many of us have visited a strange city here or abroad and with directions in hand when anxiously searching for the AA meeting we have been directed to by a central office or a written directory? How many of us have experienced the immense relief when we turn a corner and look and see, hanging from a door or a gate, the AA sign in whatever form or shape that says to us, you are home, you are safe. How happy I feel when I see that sign hanging outside. That sign is a beacon. It is saying you're home, you're safe, you're among friends. On the other hand, how many of us have felt the distress that comes of not finding a meeting place we set out to locate? For me personally, it is dismaying to sit comfortably in a church basement or a large community center safely situated in an AA meeting in my neighborhood, knowing that the sign is not hanging outside the facility to let newcomers to the meeting know we are there. And I would not even be talking about the matter were it not for the fact that I have been to many such meetings where the sign is absent. And that absence summons a sense in me that something is not quite right, as if the meeting has replaced anonymity with secrecy and gone to that place of saying, we're here, that's all that matters. At such signless meetings, I will look at the tradition's shade, and in particular our fifth tradition, which states the group's purpose as being to carry the group's message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And I will wonder if the group, including me, is only paying lip service to that tradition. Because the absence of the sign may be a signal of a kind of neglect, like a broken window in an otherwise beautiful house, a symptom of an underlying problem, to quote the Big Book. Is its absence saying we don't care as much as we should? Or is it saying perhaps we haven't recovered as much as we should have? Is the absence of the meeting sign outside possibly saying those of us with sober time still are ashamed of being alcoholics? Recently, I saw the last of a cluster of people descend into a church basement where the AA meeting was about to begin. And when they vanished from sight, they took with them even the hint that there was a life-changing meeting going on in that basement. They knew where the meeting was. That was all that mattered. They were facing in, not facing out. No candle in the window for the stranger in a strange town struggling to find us, or for the drunk stumbling along the street who suddenly looks up and sees the sign and decides, what the hell, let me see what this is about. As we stay sober in AA, the stigma of alcoholism diminishes. It is replaced by an understanding that we have an illness, not a moral deficiency, and we feel a deep and legitimate pride that one day at a time, through the miracle of AA and the power we find here, we are recovering from this hopeless condition of mind and body. We no longer look back over our shoulder as we enter an AA meeting for fear someone will see us. We no longer shudder at the thought that someone at a work-related party will ask us why it is we are not drinking. That is not to say we walk up and down Main Street with a signboard over us declaring our membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. But we have become affirmative about our recovery, as our attendance, 1,000 strong here in the city of Toronto, attests. In leaving behind the bottle, we have also left behind shame. But what about those groups that react vehemently against the very idea of an AA sign hanging outside their meeting places? Would you be surprised to hear that such vehemence exists? At one heated business meeting, I heard comments like the following, and not by newcomers, but people sober a long while. Well, I just won't come here anymore if the sign hangs outside. I don't want my anonymity to be threatened in this way. And then there was one man who threatened, after the motion to hang the sign narrowly passed, to destroy the sign, and possibly me, if I dared to hang it, because he wanted to be able to stand outside and smoke cigarettes without passersby associating him with Alcoholics Anonymous. More recently, a motion was passed at another group I attend to finally have a sign outside the meeting place, but the sign vanished, as did a second one shortly after they were hung. Several group members, driven by fear and perhaps arrogance, ignored the group conscience and decided on their own to remove the signs. Perhaps intimidated by this flouting of our second tradition by a few, the group held its silence and at the next business meeting didn't comment on these two acts of vandalism. It is easy to misunderstand or become confused about what anonymity means in regard to our 11th and 12th traditions, whose only guidelines are simply this: I can break my own anonymity to friends, family, etc., but I can't break yours. And secondly, at the level of press, radio, TV, films, internet, etc., our personal anonymity must be maintained. That is, our pictures must not be shown or our full names disclosed. In this way, we are prevented from becoming spokespersons for AA, and the risk of going off on an ego trip is minimized, and also to ensure potential members still out there that their identity as recovering alcoholics will be protected. A while back, I attended a 12th tradition meeting whose theme seemed to be strategies for protecting our anonymity in different settings, the workplace, etc. And while the topic was well received and it is important for each individual to determine the extent that he or she needs or desires to maintain his or her personal anonymity, I would like to think this tradition is more about the spirit of self-sacrifice and setting aside personal ambition, including the drive for recognition for the good of AA. In early recovery, I went to a doctor to receive physical therapy for my back. As I moaned about the pain, he said to me, "Don't be sicker than you are." In regard to undue, misplaced, and excessive concerns about our personal anonymity in relation to the AA meeting sign, is it possible that we are allowing ourselves to be more important than we truly are? Is it not possible that the world has more important things to think about than whether David S. is an alcoholic in recovery or not? So I have a modest proposal. If your group does not hang a sign outside of the meeting place, consider bringing the matter up for discussion at your business meeting. And if you hear the same misinterpretation of our anonymity traditions, the same voice of fear about the issue of personal anonymity as I have heard at meetings, then perhaps be willing to engage in a discussion that will bring better understanding of anonymity and that it can never be at the expense of the public's need to know who we are and where we are in line with our primary purpose, to stay sober and help the alcoholic who still suffers. Because how on earth can we help them if we haven't done everything we can to ensure that they find us? And who knows where such a discussion can lead? With a clear understanding of our anonymity traditions and the need to continue the work of public information, there is much that our groups can do to further awareness of AA in our communities. And I'm sure the other two speakers will talk to those points in a larger way. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, David. One thing I forgot to mention was I want to ask everybody to turn off your cell phones so don't end up beeping through the speakers here. And our next person is someone for the Pacific region. It's Roberta. The program was wrong. It says Robert as Roberta.
I'm Roberta, and I'm an alcoholic. Let me assure you that I could drink as much as any Robert in the room. I'm very appreciative and very humbled for the opportunity to participate in this international conference. My special thanks to Doug R. for the loving invitation. I am deeply humbled to be a part of this monumental happening to commemorate the 70th birthday of our fellowship. I extend the warmest welcome to those of you who are here for the first time at an international conference, and especially to those of you who are early in sobriety. My home group is the Brown Baggers Group in Carson City, Nevada. We meet 6 days a week at lunchtime, and you're all invited to attend anytime. We'd love to see you there. You could even sneak up to Reno for a little partying if you wanted to. My loving invitation specified carrying the message through public information as the meeting's topic. As explained by David, the previous speaker, there is a delicate balance between attraction, promotion, and anonymity in public information. As a Panel 47 delegate, it was my privilege to serve as a member of the PI committee. Interestingly enough, my area's current delegate is also on that committee. That year and the next year, the membership survey was the hot topic on the conference agenda, and she assures me that there are still a lot of hot topics on the conference agenda related to PI. My second year, I had the privilege of serving as chair of the Public Information Committee, and that allowed me to experience the committee system from a little different perspective with the responsibility that goes with being chair. It was exciting, and it was a process with the January board meeting that helped me understand much more clearly how the trustees committee and the conference committee work together. The final result of that process, and after much loving discussion, we decided that the membership survey would go forward one more time. And the people in the audience who know about that are chuckling with understanding, because that is debated, I think, probably very seriously with every single conference. I use the membership survey as an example of public information due to its importance in defining us to the outside world. That little pamphlet, how many of you have seen the little membership survey pamphlet? That tells the treatment and the court system who we are. It also tells us who we are. And every time I look at that, I check to see what the percentage of women in AA is with that survey. We can also look at other subgroups to see, are we reaching out to all areas, to all groups, to all populations with our efforts. Interestingly enough, the current Box 459, the one just hot off the press, reports Public Information Trustees Committee progress, and I quote, "Over the past year, we reviewed and made adjustments to a new TV public service announcement, PSA, forwarded to the conference PI committee, forwarded it. We reviewed and mailed the annual anonymity letter to the media. We also reviewed the draft of Alcoholics Anonymous 2004 membership survey and forwarded it to the conference PI committee." This sounds very much like the PI committee work that I did in 1997 and 1998. There is a great deal of comfort for me in the consistency and stability of AA General Service as illustrated by the continued and repetitious business of the conference and trustees' committees on public information. As in all Alcoholics Anonymous, we proceed slowly, carefully, relying on our past experience as well as the process of ongoing, loving, and thoughtful debate. The work of public information in Alcoholics Anonymous has been tremendously important from the infancy of AA. As reported in the April 1946 Grapevine, two doctors, after conducting a survey of physicians, suggested that most doctors strongly favored a campaign of public information on the subject of alcoholism. At that time, chronic alcoholism was treated with sedative and vitamin therapy, and not very successfully at that. That comes as no surprise to any of us. After the advent of AA, recovery from the malady of alcoholism became a reality, but only if information were available to the public. The word had to be gotten out. Consequently, viable and continual ways of providing the public at large with hope and means of recovery had to be made available to the world. A major component of distribution of public information has always been provided by our Class A trustees. They present our public face in situations where anonymity of members of AA must be maintained. John Hartley, past Class A trustee, said his job as a non-alcoholic trustee was to enhance understanding and cooperation between AA, the doctors, medical students, social workers, and other health care professionals in the polyclinics where most of AA meetings are held. He said, they, the professionals, feel free to be candid with me and to accept the veracity of my input coming from a professional point of view. In Northern Nevada, we have the privilege of having Dr. John Chappell as a Class A trustee for 9 years. He was an exception appointed early, and then they changed the rotation. But he is highly respected in Northern Nevada. He is affiliated with the University of Nevada, and so he was able to present that public face to all of the treatment and medical people in our community. Now, his say-so would have a lot more impact than mine, because he's a respected psychiatrist. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Plus, he can break his anonymity. He doesn't have to do that, maintain that. Public information is provided both at the local level, and David covered that very well with his work in New York, and the national, international level. Local PI committees provide information to outside groups consisting of high school and college students, church youth groups, medical and nursing students, nurses, hospital orderlies, and administration workers, policemen, police academy cadets, labor union officials, women's clubs, clergymen's organization, and businessmen's groups, to name a few. They also provide information to local media. General Service Office deals with national publications, broadcasting networks, and headquarters of professional groups. In 1964, Bill W. wrote, "Our fellowship enjoys a vast goodwill everywhere. In large measure, this is directly due to another AA World Service, the Service of Public Information. For many years, wonderful accounts of AA have poured from the press and from other media of communication. This astounding success has required of your general service people great labor, top skills, and unstinted dedication. There is no question that this continued torrent of favorable publicity has brought to AA one half of its present membership. The electronic age has provided a new and creative way to provide public information regarding our fellowship. Less than 10 years ago, when I was delegate, we were beginning to talk about how are we going to handle AA and Internet. And now that's a reality, and it's extensive worldwide. There are all kinds of aspects of the Internet used to publicize our message. The AA website at www.aa.org is full of helpful, relevant information for anyone who is interested in what we can provide. By clicking on the icon for this convention, one can review the current news releases provided by AA. Some of the news titles are 25 millionth Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, Alcoholics Anonymous Convention Truly International, and Alcoholics Mark 70th Anniversary. These titles should suggest permanency and stability and respectability to anyone visiting the website. Had I found these news releases while drinking and surfing the web, I would have been duly impressed. I guess it's irrelevant that there was no web when I got sober, that if there had been, I might have paid attention. Another component of public information is to assure anonymity for members of Alcoholics Anonymous. The annual anonymity letter for the media mentioned earlier provides the media with clear provisions for the protection of AA members' anonymity and is also available on AA's website. This letter asks media to use alcoholics' first names only and not to use pictures of alcoholics in which faces can be recognized. It also includes a paragraph, quote, "Anonymity lies at the heart of our fellowship and assures our members that their recovery will be private." It further explains that the active alcoholic will avoid any source of help which might reveal his or her identity. A good example for me of the close relationship between public information and anonymity from my own experience happened in the early 1990s in Reno. We were privileged to have the International Women's AA Conference. I had the privilege of serving as the PI chair of that conference, and a major crisis occurred when the Reno Hilton included information regarding the conference in the newsletter that they placed in everybody's room. I mean, anybody at the hotel got this newsletter. They mentioned the fact that a woman whose name was recognizable around the world was attending that AA conference, and they included her last name. When approached regarding this issue, the Reno Hilton management was very responsive, and they very quickly removed that newsletter from all rooms in the hotel. Now, what could have been a very good public information document for us turned into an anonymity nightmare, because we hadn't anticipated such a problem and educated the hotel staff. I mean, it would have been a simple thing to deal with that ahead of time. This education definitely would have fallen in the category of a classic PI responsibility. The public information guidelines provided by the General Service Office are available for the asking. They can be downloaded from the Internet, and they clearly spell out suggestions for informing the public, reaching the still suffering alcoholic, and protecting the anonymity of AA members. The guidelines offer tips for local PI committees, for cooperating with other AA communities, how to work with the media, related publications that are available, and information regarding AA's website. It seems that anonymity, world service, and public information are inexorably tied together, and the publication of the Big Book in 1939 solidified these relationships. When I contemplate the growth of our fellowship from those early years in the 1930s to our 30th birthday celebration, which happened right here in Toronto, to our celebration this weekend, 40 years later, the worldwide growth of AA is staggering. Public information efforts have fueled much of that growth. Through deliberate and careful PI, we have been able to attract rather than promote. It is up to the individual AA member to continue to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. We are the best public information providers available. Many times in 2 decades of membership in AA, I have had the opportunity to reach out to a fellow sufferer and carry the message by providing information. Through sponsorship or being involved in AA service work, these are personal forms of public information that have worked the miracle of AA over and over for me and for countless others. In discussing Tradition 11, Bill W. said, "Good public relations are AA's lifelines reaching out to the alcoholic who still does not know us. For years to come, our growth is sure to depend upon the strength and number of these lifelines. One serious public relations calamity could always turn thousands away from us to perish. A matter of life and death indeed. I would like to read from, as Bill sees it, one excerpt, page 195, The Language of the Heart. Why at this particular point in history has God chosen to communicate his healing grace to so many of us? Every aspect of this global unfoldment can be related to a single crucial word. The word is communication. There has been a life-saving communication among ourselves and with the world around us and with God. From the beginning, communication in AA has been no ordinary transmission of helpful ideas and attitudes. Because of our kinship in suffering and because our common means of deliverance are effective for ourselves only when constantly carried to others, our channels of contact have always been charged with the language of the heart. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Roberta. Now, from Canada, just 80 miles east of here, right? East, right? And I've got the right direction, is Jack.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Jack. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Public Information. Public information is possibly, probably, undoubtedly, the most exciting, the most rewarding, and sometimes it can get you in a little bit of trouble. But the service work of public information is undoubtedly unbelievable. It has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. So did Alcoholics Anonymous. I need to qualify for two things, I believe, in order to be on this panel today. But first of all, I want to say thank you. I have absolutely no idea what I owe this honor to. It is an honor and a privilege. And I want to thank the committee and Doug, as chair of the committee, for this opportunity to share with you today. My experience in public information is basically at the district level and in my home group and at the area level. At the area, I have been public information chairperson. I did a full term and I did a half a term. I filled in for a person who had to leave sick. The experience was absolutely marvelous. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me what I could not have. Public information work has just put the icing on the cake. As an alcoholic, so you know I'm in the right place, and probably you're in the right place. I'll give you one little incident that goes back a few years. First of all, I'm sober since the 1st of February 1970. Believe that's a miracle. It was absolutely impossible for me to go a single solitary day without drinking prior to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was married. Actually, I was just about divorced. But I had four children, a wife, almost, had a wife, you left. But anyhow, I lost all that. Back in the early 60s, and I just want to recite this one little bit of identification, because I'm sure that you do things as drinking individuals, you did things, I did things that are just a little bit off the wall. And I had lost my license for, of all things, impaired driving, drunk driving, disagreeing with the law and those kind of things. And I had bought a boat. Fellas got to travel. I moved down on the lake. And from where I lived, I could get closer to the hotels uptown in my boat than you could in your car on a Saturday. And I used that boat, and I loved that boat. But anyhow, time went on. I was still in that, living in that place, got my license back, and I went uptown one time, and I went into the hotel. And back in the, I was just in 63, 64, in that area, there were people around that had long hair, and they had beards, and they didn't work, and we called them hippies. Anybody remember the hippies? I wasn't a hippie, but I remember them, and I had opinions in those days. Love everybody today, thank you. Didn't in those days. And these hippies were one of my pet beefs. My biggest problem was I knew absolutely nothing about them. But I formed opinions. And as I walked over to my favorite watering hole that day under the town clock, this fellow was standing with his back against the wall and the 1 foot up against the wall. And he was a massive individual, and he was reading a book. Long hair, beard. And I'm pretty sober. And I said something not very pleasant. Carried on, because I'm pretty sober. I went into my favorite watering hole and sat down, and I was right on time because the first draft of beer, the tray of beer was just coming around, and I managed to get a couple off that one. And he came in shortly after that, and he sat there all afternoon, and the table just about two over from me. And the more I drank, the more belligerent I got. Any identification? Anyhow, I started calling him things and did everything I could to get him to fight with me. And he sat there all afternoon, read his book. I think he had two, maybe two and a half drafts of beer. He walked out and left part of one there. And I stayed till it closed. And when I left, I think he used to close at supper time. And then he had to get out at 6:30, give him a break to clean the table so that he could make a mess again at 8. But anyhow, I left, and I was going to go home. And guess what? Against the town clock, he is standing reading his book. So now I'm well oiled, and I'm really belligerent. And I went over to have a chat with him, and he just completely ignored me. So I asked him, I said, "You a hippie?" And he finally answered me. He said, "Yes," he said, "I might be." Well, then, I'm really well now. If I got ahead of my widow, but he was just too big. And he would have nothing to do with my belligerence. And finally, you know what you do when you can't get anybody, if they won't fight with you, they won't talk to you, they won't do anything, just completely ignore you? What would a good alcoholic do? Any ideas? This alcoholic took him home. I took him home and introduced him to my wife and family. I had two young daughters, one about two, and the other one would be one. And he met them, stayed for supper. We played cards that evening. He was there the next morning, and I woke up and I looked at him and thought, "Who the hell is that? Where did this guy come from?" And I took him around the city of Peterborough, showed him the lift locks and different things that he was interested in, and got to know him a little bit. And I can tell you today that he was a really, really decent fellow. And my drinking story is something like that. I was pleasant sometimes I wasn't, but it managed to get me in a lot of trouble. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and things changed. The 1st of February 1970, I came here and I didn't like you people. I didn't want to be here. And alcohol was always my solution. It was never my problem. And it didn't matter what it was. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous not wanting to quit drinking, not believing I had a drinking problem, and I certainly wasn't an alcoholic. As things started to clear up, my head cleared a little bit. I met a few people that assured me that I probably was an alcoholic. I definitely had problems, and I needed to stay, and I did. And they got me interested in service work a little bit, and I got interested in public information, among other things, and I worked at that a little. I got interested in going to the area meetings, the area assemblies. And I've been going to area assemblies for about 34 years. And the first one I went to, I think they lasted about 2 hours. Now they last 3 days. I think we accomplished a little more. We certainly have more people. Anyhow, as the public information chairperson at the area level, I've had a lot of good experiences. So what is public information? This is like preaching to the reformed, and I always find that the one thing that completely amazes me is You never get a full room for a service panel. I don't understand that. But let me tell you, this is an exciting route to follow. If you like excitement, you will like public information. I had the opportunity to go many, many different places, and I've had a lot of fun. And I've talked about anonymity. You've heard about anonymity here, and that's a terribly important thing, and especially in public information. But must realize a simple fact. Alcoholics Anonymous isn't anonymous. As a member, I am anonymous. But to you, as an individual, you're welcome to my phone number, my last name, whatever you happen to need. If I can help you, you come and see me after. But at this podium, at the front of a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm Jack and I'm an alcoholic. I am not anonymous on an individual basis. It's necessary that I let people know. But anyhow, this anonymity, I was at a meeting, went to a meeting in Cornwall, I believe it was, and it was a hospital meeting, and the committee down there was putting this meeting on, and as I drove down the 401 highway, now Cornwall is about a couple of hundred miles east of where I live, so other than talking to him on the phone three or four times, I really had nothing to do with the preparation. I knew that they had radio spots, television spots. They expected a big turnout, and they had an auditorium in the hospital, I believe it was. But on the way down, they happened to mention that the chairperson of public information for Area 83, and gave my full name, was going to be attending the meeting. Well, a prisoner fell out of my car, and that could be painful at 120 clicks. And what happens when there are anonymity breaks? What could I do? I could have been upset. I could have called them and told them the horrible mistake they were making and to never do that again. But as soon as I got into Brockville or Cornwall, I stopped and I went into a phone booth and I phoned and I got the young lady on the telephone and I said that I was that chairperson and that I would appreciate if they didn't use my last name any further, because I was also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she apologized, really apologized. And I thought that was wonderful. And she said, I'm going to go on the radio right now as soon as this song is over, and I'll give you an apology. I'll apologize to Alcoholics Anonymous. And my response to that was, no, please do not do that. Don't draw attention to it. There's enough attention there now. Just drop the last name. She was on with that announcement again right after the next song, that song finished without my last name. And I probably had another 10 minutes or so in the car, and I think I heard it three more times. She really pumped it. So we need to be courteous. And what is it all about? What is it all about? Why public information? Every person in this room is an ambassador for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know why they call us anonymous, because we're not. I came off on a GO train. Today is the first time I've been on a train since I was a little boy, preteen, probably pre-double figure, so it's a long time ago. And there were half a dozen people on that train that were coming to this conference. They didn't tell me they were coming to this conference, but I knew they were coming to this conference. And I was sitting trying to gather my thoughts. And just before we pulled into Union Station, I went over and I said, you know, you people are not very anonymous. And I introduced myself and I thanked them for being such great people. And the other people on the train were sitting there being them normal selves, you know. Yeah. Maybe going to work, you know. These people were having a ball. They were trading seats, sides, you know, they just had a ball. They're obviously, to me, they were coming to hear. Those other people with the long faces on the train were probably wondering, what is wrong with those people? But it was obvious to all of us, they were enjoying themselves. And this is the message that needs to go out, that Alcoholics Anonymous is not a place to come and die. It's a place to come and live.
Thanks, Lenny.
I got the Bobbsey twins back there cheering me on. I have to be good. I could be in trouble. I just joined their group. They could throw me out, and I'm still on probation. Didn't know there's any probation in Alcoholics Anonymous. Come to Peterborough. But anyhow, public information is about that person that's out there that's still suffering. And how do we get the message out to him? Through the third party. They have to know. Many people in this room were told about Alcoholics Anonymous. They just didn't come as a flash. We're not all Bill Wilsons. We didn't get it that way. Many people picked it up from a third party. And it's our business. It's our responsibility to make sure the awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous is out in our community. The awareness is there that we are here. This is how you contact us. And that there will be somebody there to help. And how do you carry the message? What is the message anyhow? Like I said, it's a 12-step call. An extension of a 12-step call, in reality. But for the person in a public information committee, we have so many very, very useful tools. The best explanation of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't care. If I went into an individual, he gave me 1 minute to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. How would you explain Alcoholics Anonymous in 1 minute and get out of there? And if you had a question, you could ask it. Does anybody know? Preamble. You got it. Right in this little book, the AA Preamble. Fellowship of Men and Women who are constitutionally incapable. Read it. Inside cover. You can do that in about 45 seconds. Ask him if he has any questions. He might be there 15 minutes. It's amazing. It tells me all about Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're speaking to a group of people, regardless of where it is, there is a fact file available. That fact file is so full of information about Alcoholics Anonymous. What I did was took that fact file and I took highlighters, three different colors. And I used to mark in yellow the short presence or the long presentation for 20 minutes or whatever. Then for one that would be 5 minutes or so shorter, I had it in blue. And I had a red one that I could get through in about 5 minutes. And I could tell people about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't have to, I had the proof right there. I mean, this comes from Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't need proof, but you need to know. And I knew. If I'm ever in doubt, wonderful people at the General Service Office. And I pick up the phone and I would phone. And you know what they always said? I was never told, you do this, you do that, you do the other thing. They told me, in our experience, this is what's happened. In our experience, this is what happened. And if I followed their experience, I stayed out of trouble. Sometimes I would get off the beaten path. And I would be ever so gently drawn back. And sometimes not so gently drawn back. But I always got back. I always get back on path. An absolutely wonderful area committee for guidance. We've had some great, great delegates that have always been there. There is no shortage of places to take this message. One of the things that I used to hear as an area chairperson, and in all the districts, Area 83 goes from Oakville to the Quebec border and down into New York State. It's a big hunk of geography. And a lot of districts in there. And in all the districts, there were subtle little differences. But the majority of the people, the committees, were talking about taking the message into schools. I agree with this 100%. Schools need the message. We're better to take it than into schools, but a lot of them stopped right there. Now, there's a few drunks in the schools, but I think we need to take it in other places. And I've heard some pretty unique suggestions. One that I heard, and I don't know whether you'd have much luck with this. I've never seen it, but why not have a little sign up in the bar? Where are you going to find problem drinkers more than in the bar? If you want to drink, that's your business. Do you feel you have a problem? Give us a call. I've never seen that sign. I've heard it proposed, and I don't know if anybody tried to get it in or not. I did not. There are many service clubs that welcome speakers. Service clubs have an individual who is a speaker seeker. Speaker seekers have to get somebody once a week, once a month, once of something to come in and speak. Why not go to service clubs? Some of these service people drink. Surprising me. And it's amazing that if we think of the places we can go, the list could be that long. I'm not going to name them because you have them all and you know them all. But if you get interested in and you get out into the community and you start to enjoy yourself, and that's the important thing. The message that you carry, not only is it carried verbally, the first message the people in front pick up is you. It's me. And I got up this morning, I was going to wear a suit and tie. And I thought, no, times have changed, I don't need the tie today. And I got down to a sports jacket. And I did this one time at I was also a chairperson of Cooperation with the Professionals. And I was at a meeting, and man, it was hot, 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 and there was no one else in that room with a suit and tie on. And I said, it's absolutely necessary to dress appropriately. And I started peeling her off. And I got the tie off, and then he started cheering. And that was the end of it. I said, this is a professional meeting. We're going no further. But go in with a positive attitude. Stand up in front of the audience and smile. You know, if you look unhappy, if you look miserable, they may not want what you have. And if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is what we talk about in public information. What is the program? Very simply, the 12 steps. We have a recovery program that works each and every time. To my knowledge, it has never failed. I know individuals who have failed, but the program never has. I wanted to end with something very profound. He hasn't pulled my pants off yet, but I think I must be getting close. Am I getting close, Mark? I'm good and close, he says. I'm good and close. I wanted to end with something particularly profound today. And, you know, I don't have anything that's particularly profound. What I do have is something that, and it's a feeling. And you can feel in this room. One of the things that I had a problem with coming here was God, because if there was one, he didn't want me anyhow. And I was, if anything, afraid. And in the meetings in this area, we close it with the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know how you close your meetings, where you're from. But I do know that God is in each and every room of Alcoholics Anonymous. A fellow told me one time, he didn't tell me, he was speaking. And he said, when the meeting closes, if you don't say the prayer, and I didn't because I didn't know it, If you're standing there and you're shuffling around, looking around to see who is saying the prayer, who has their head bowed, and that was me, he said, just stop. Close your eyes and listen. And if you don't believe, you'll feel the power. That power is in this room. That power is in this convention. That power is going to be here all weekend. That power has given me what I could not achieve on my own. And I want every individual in this city, in your city, to know that Alcoholics Anonymous is alive and well. And for that I am responsible. God bless.
Thank you, Jack. I think that was really informational. All the speakers that spoke, and I was supposed to speak for a few minutes here. One of the things they asked me to do, and I haven't been on a public information committee. I haven't actually done specifically focused public information work, but I've been involved in service for quite a few years, and so I've been involved in things that have been related to it and participated in discussions, and like Roberta talked about, I'm the Panel 54 delegate for San Diego Imperial Area, and so I've got to be involved in the conference talking about, and being the group conscience, bringing the group conscience to New York, to the conference and talking about the public information things that she mentioned earlier. Got to be part of that discussion on videos and all kinds of stuff. The first thing I can remember that affected me, it has to do with public information, was when I heard a Grapevine tape. I was a Grapevine chair in the early 90s, and I heard a Grapevine tape, and it changed the way I thought about anonymity. It actually made me think about it a little bit. And I listened to one of the tapes and heard this story about a guy that was sober for quite a few years, and he became a really good employee for his employer. And his boss was, was talking with him. His boss was trying to talk to him about, because his boss knew that he'd been a bad drunk, and he knew that he wasn't anymore. And so, but he wanted to keep his anonymity. So, his boss had come and talked to him about his son, And then over the years, over a couple of years, bringing things to him. And then one time, after a couple of years, he was in this restaurant, and he's in there eating breakfast, and he saw his boss over there crying. And went over and talked to him a little bit, and his boss said, I talked to you a few times about my son, and I knew that you'd changed, and I thought, maybe I'd learn something about how you changed, but my son killed himself, and he's been drinking, he'd been drinking for a long time and had problems, and I didn't know what to do. And it's that story in the Grapevine, somebody writing their story of the Grapevine and being on one of those tapes really affected me, and how I thought about anonymity, and anonymity is, it's like, we're not necessarily anonymous. I mean, there's just places that we are anonymous. We need to be, and that's very key. And there's certain places, where when we're out, with the people that we know, the people we're close to, where we are sometimes the only big book, that they get to see. They won't see anything on TV. Those late night PSAs, public service announcements that may be on after midnight or something, they won't see that. But they get to see the changes in our lives and how we are different people today. And we can be helpful. So that's something for us, I think, for me to remember. And I do. I really remember that all the time. in our area, we have PI committees that's in the intergroups. And what they over the years, I've been watching it, and we have so many things that we could be doing with public information. There's so many things that we could, and it closely relates with CPC also, working with professionals. But there's so many things that we could be doing, and I think the thing that our area focuses on most, it's part of the reason is we don't have a lot of people that are volunteering to help out, to help out and be of service and that. But the thing that they've been focused on over the years mostly has been trying to go into the schools and talking with the schools, like Jack talked about, which is a good thing. But there's lots of other areas. And this, 10 years ago, this international was in San Diego, and I got to see, this is a big public information event, for AA, I don't know if you've been reading the newspapers. You know, they've had some really good articles in the newspapers about AA, and you know, that's kind of making it across the Canada and the United States. You know, kind of being passed around. But in San Diego, I know they had a really strong public information committee. You know, and had a really good relationship with the press. And there were, you know, from what I understand, there were no, you know, real anonymity breaks, which is amazing. You know, they have, you know, 50,000 people or so. And at some event like this, and not necessarily have any, you know, full name anonymity breaks, and have good press. And it's just one of those things where I said it ties in with CPCs, where we build this good relationships with these professionals, with our friends, you know, that help inform the alcoholics that aren't here yet and haven't heard about us, you know. And when I got here, I didn't know anything about AA. I hadn't heard of it, and you know, it was 21 years ago. And, you know, AA was pretty big then still, you know, and it was, you know, I hadn't even heard of it. And part of that may have been because I was, you know, well, I wasn't a very observant drunk. I liked to drink a lot in the bars and didn't pay attention to politics or anything that was going on. So that may have been part of it. But a part of it may have been because I was in the Navy then too. And I think, you know, that may be another area with, I know they've become more aware, but that may be another area to do more public information work, you know. And, you know, the last few years I've been kind of focusing, you know, kind of talking about it in our area, and, you know, using this survey that was talked about, using the survey and saying, okay, what's the percentage of drunks that we're reaching? Are we really, is the hand of A really there? You know, because we like that responsibility pledge, you know, and it's like, is the hand of A always there when there's a drunk that needs us? And you know, in some areas we're not there. And you know, looking at that survey, thinking about our own community in San Diego, and thinking about like the Vietnamese community, and I don't know of any meetings in the Vietnamese community in San Diego. You know, I don't know about your areas. You know, what's in your area? Where are we not reaching? And so we can use that as tools and find out where we still have lots of work to do. And you know, I think these are just really wonderful things. And you know, this year at the conference, we got to approve doing this flag ceremony. You know, having the flag ceremony streamed across the internet, so it's secure. I don't know if everybody knows about it, but we decided we'd allow that. And what they're going to do is they're going to videotape this flag ceremony opening flag ceremony tonight, and then within the next 5 hours after that, they're going to, you know, kind of blur out the faces or whatever, make it anonymity protected. They're going to put it on the internet on a secure site, and the areas and GSOs around the world will have passwords to get to it. They can stream it across and use it at a meeting. Like our area has set up two different meetings, and I know lots of other areas have done the same thing. And so we set up two different meetings in the north and south part of our area. One of them is in a public library. It's the place they found on short notice in a public library. So that could be, you know, part of a public information meeting. You know, I know North County has a public information meeting where they invite, kind of make sure people know about it and keep the traditions in that. But this could, you know, they could get to see, you know, how big AA is and how it's changed people's lives and get to hear that. And so everything we do, I think, really has some relation to public information. And I'm really grateful to AA for having saved my life. And I know that there's still work to do for a lot of drunks that are out there. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to participate in this workshop and this panel here, and get to hear, you know, three really wonderful speakers, and they kind of talk about things and make us think. And that's why we all have a responsibility to do that at our home groups. You know, that's something I try to talk about quite often. It's like, we don't just kind of learn this for ourselves. You know, we go back to our groups and our committees that we're participating on and talk about it. Don't just, you know, go to our meetings and talk about, you know, what happened, you know, why I'm, you know, sitting sober today, but what else can we do to help carry that message? Just keep that going. So anyway,